This is Kate Harness for 3A7net Info, and today I'm joined by one of the candidates for the Senate 22 seat, Mark Jennings. Hello, Mark. Nice to see you, and thank you for spending some time with 3A7net Info.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So, Mark, you have already been sitting in as a House District representative for, I think you're completing your fifth term, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you're now running, you've switched, you want to run for the Senate. Can you tell me a little bit about what made you want to change your position?
Well, I ran for office because of my kids and grandkids. I want them to grow up in the same America. And when Senator Kinski decided not to run, I knew that my opponent, Mr. Crago, probably would run. And we have very contrasting points of view.
And I hope we get in to explain some of that to voters in a moment, but yes.
Yeah. And so I had thought about running for the Senate. You only have to do it once every 4 years. I guess that's a plus. But I feel like that it's important that we present the voters with an option for a very conservative. I have a very conservative voting record.
So you obviously have experience of legislating. What previous experience and qualification would you particularly like voters to know about?
My first year out, I ran a bill called Parental Rights. And it actually took the fundamental right that most people think is enshrined in the Wyoming Constitution or statute or the U.S. Constitution, and it is not. It took me 3 years to get that through, but it spells out very clearly that the parents have the fundamental right to raise their kids. I did not touch endangerment, neglect, the things that the state should get involved. I left all of those alone. But outside of that, parents have the fundamental right to raise their children.
Okay, so you're well known in the Sheridan area, maybe less known in Johnson County, and obviously a large geographical area of the Senate 22 seat is in Johnson County. Can you tell me a little bit about what your professional and personal background has been so that the voters know who you are?
Sure. So my wife and I have started several small businesses. We were all born and raised in Kansas. We moved here about 20 years ago, and doing a small business, we bought a FedEx ground route that did Buffalo and most of Johnson County. It did not cover the most southern part. And prior to moving here, I was head of maintenance in a school district. I was head of maintenance in two or three factories, high-tech factories, Heidelberg printing presses and Tetra Pak type things. And I came to a place where you're either going to stay on top of that field or you're going to step aside and wait for the computer to tell you what to do, and which was already beginning to happen. And so I've done handyman work, the freight business. Currently I pastor a church, and so Cowboy Church up in Story. And so that's kind of my background to that. When I ran the first time, my daughter worked for me full time, and we were 73 jobs behind. And I'm not sure how that played out, but eventually we caught up, and even with running for office.
So I'm curious, how did you find Wyoming? I can tell you a story some other time about how I found Wyoming, but how did you find Wyoming from Kansas?
I had always wanted to come out to the mountains, and we ran a business, a KOA, in 1986. An opportunity came up for us to lease a KOA campground. And so we came through Sheridan and Buffalo, and we always knew that we wanted to live out here. And so in about 2005, our youngest graduated high school, and our oldest daughter, they both had opportunity to go to Sheridan College, one for pre-med and the other for culinary. And so it seemed like and then an opportunity for a job. Or to start a business, and so we did. That's how we got here.
One thing that I'm aware of, because obviously I'm not originally from around here, as they say, is that, you know, you've been here 20 years or so. You feel that you understand Wyoming culture. It is a unique creature of its own, but you feel that in the 20 years or so, you've understood and know what Wyoming is about and what the people here want.
I think people love freedom all over the United States, and I don't think that's, you know, my opponent wasn't born and raised here either, and I think he's probably been here about that length mm-hmm. of time, and so I think it's a question of what values do we hold as Americans. Is there minutia things that occur with Wyoming? Absolutely. Small populated state, very wealthy in minerals. A lot of those things are similar to Kansas and so to the west. And so I think that's probably what you're asking.
Yeah, you feel that there is some resonance.
Sure, absolutely.
You are a conservative candidate, and as you describe yourself, probably more so than your opponent. And this is a Republican primary election, mm-hmm. ergo all candidates are conservative. There is increasing division and fracturing within the Wyoming Republican Party, and that was most...
I hadn't noticed that.
That was most evident in the last session. Two groups have emerged, the Wyoming Freedom Caucus and the Wyoming Caucus. I think that's confusing for voters in itself because the names are so similar, but...
That might be by design.
It might be. Which of those groups would you say most closely aligns with your values?
Certainly the Freedom Caucus would be more. I'm not a member, but I certainly would agree with their values more.
So could you explain to listeners who are trying to understand the difference between the conservative candidates that are standing, what differentiates you? What is your brand of conservatism?
Well, I look at the Republican Party platform, and that's one of my guiding principles of how I make decisions, and it is a pretty conservative document. You know, it's very pro-life and pro-gun and pro-traditional Judeo-Christian principles. I think the Wyoming caucus, there's certainly differences of perspectives, but there's the true thing for the voter is to look at the voting record, inform themselves, not the rhetoric, not mine or my opponents. Go look at the voting record, and if those values are the conservative values that you like, that's the way you should vote.
And so you would describe yourself as an ultra-conservative, or how would you describe yourself, and what is a particular issue that you think might stand out to voters that would differentiate you from your opponent?
Ultra would be a kind of an interesting way to look at that. I don't know. I hear very few people say, well, this person is ultra left. And so to describe ourselves as ultra right would be maybe
there are
misleading.
Not many left wing candidates there are no Democratic candidates running in this election right now. So you are all right-wing by definition because you are all conservative.
I think that would make the assumption that some of the people from the left have not infiltrated into the ranks of the Republican Party. And statistically, that's not accurate at all.
And there is often the word RINO, Republican in name only, is something that is used to describe.
Yeah, yeah. Do they vote more with the left than with the right? There's always places where you're going to come together and vote together. There are certain things that the right and the left you would come together on. But I think of my statistics are around 30-some% that I vote with the Democrats. My opponent votes 81% of the time. So therefore, by definition, you would say that he leans further towards the left than I would. But I don't know that I would call myself ultra.
Okay, thank you. I think it's just important that voters get to try and perceive that nuance, especially if they're not particularly politically in touch. You mentioned that the division within the party, and you experienced that in Cheyenne this spring. The downside of division is that it creates an infighting that turns off voters. They don't like that, and they're reluctant to engage with what is going on in politics. And it also may dissuade able individuals from standing for office, because they don't want that to work and operate in that kind of environment. What do you think, having experienced that, what should or could be done to maybe heal some of those divisions and build unity so that the people of Wyoming do not lose?
So I can mostly only speak to that for myself, because I'm not sure the premise is actually all the way correct. Some people believe that tension that between those decision-making processes is actually healthy in our form of republic, representative republic. It was set up to bring a lot of tension, and therefore the wheels of government should move very slowly and try and come out with the best end product. For me, as I look at that, and I have been labeled by some as ultra, but I want to hear the Democrats' point of view. I want to hear what you said, the Rhinos' point of view. It's not that I'm likely to vote with them, but perhaps I missed something and I need to hear from them. And so in healing that division, there are aspects that won't be healed. And I think that is part of the actual representative republic tension that is actually built into our system and is very healthy. Perhaps I missed something and I am going to vote for it.
Could you, so you're saying that you have an open mind when you hear those things, and you're prepared to change your mind and be influenced by other
people? I've done that more than once in my 10 years. But I won't tell you that, just because I'm willing to listen to it, that I will change my ideology just because I want to fit in. I have a guiding principle that I work off of, and that's what I want my voters to know.
Property tax reform has remained elusive as a significant level, and it was a very arduous and difficult process within the legislative session last time. No one individual can bring about legislative change, and there will be another crack at it. You're all going to have another go, whether you're in the Senate or the House. What measures do you particularly support? What initiatives, having been so entrenched in those debates and seen so many different solutions and ideas, what is something that you would be prepared to get behind or even bring yourself in the next session?
I have brought, for three times, I have brought acquisition, and we've studied it, and we want to make it Wyoming if we do it.
Could you explain what you mean?
Acquisition is like Prop 13 in California. It is currently what we work under is fair market value, and so that if your neighbor overpays by $1 million, your taxes go up accordingly because the value in your neighborhood went up. Acquisition says if he overpays by $1 million, he pays on what he pays taxes on what he purchased that for. And you had a willing seller and you had a willing buyer, and they knew what they were willing to pay for that. And therefore, the taxes on the people around them in the neighborhood are not affected by that. Now, you still have to have an escalator in there because of inflation and things of that nature. And the way that my bill was written is it would roll back to 2019, which was prior to hyperinflation, and it would have had a 3% escalator every year. There's lots of things that have to be worked out on that. There's lots of other things that I am very much in favor of. I worked with Representative Locke on a tax holiday. We're taking in historic amounts of money on property taxes. And so a tax holiday would be, I'm looking at the difference between reform and relief. you can do rebates and you can do refunds and you can do exemptions, and but I would rather see us do that across the board. I would listen, if we're worried only about the senior citizens, then what happens to our young people? They can't afford to stay here, they're going to leave, and that's one of the main concerns you always hear about Wyoming.
And it is a particular issue, I think, for this district.
It is. Some districts are certainly more affected, but again, in the constitutional view of that, of uniformity, this, when we come upon a solution, it has to reach across the board. It has to work across all of Wyoming.
So one initiative that some voters may have been aware of may have indeed signed a petition to support a reduction of by 50% of property tax. Is that something that you have endorsed?
I actually signed on to it. I very much like the concept. I think it will run into some problems if it makes it through, but we'll see if it makes it through.
Okay, thank you. We talked about housing and so on. It is a significant challenge, especially in the Johnson County area. Many employers are saying that they're finding difficulties finding enough good staff who will come either into the area or who can stay and live and work, and that is becoming an economic problem. Do you have any solutions to address that issue? Do you think it's even the role of government to suggest to be involved in that?
I do have a solution for that. Again, it will require some very it'll take a little while to roll out and to figure out. By and large, it's not government's position. Government's position is to provide infrastructure and tax structure that entices people to come here and want to build their lives without a huge amount of government interference. I'm not prepared to roll out a particular idea that I'm working on for that particular solution.
Okay, well, we look forward to hearing what that is in due course then. One issue that may be of concern to some voters is that other communities around us are actually incentivizing development. Mm-hmm. And how do we stop our community from losing out to those who are actually making it easier for developers and solving their housing crisis? Because it's a mm-hmm. Wyoming problem, it's a national problem.
Yeah. And we see it at the local level, from city to city, across counties, across states. It's one of, and especially for conservatives, it's one of the more hard issues, because you'll have other states that will incentivize people to come there. And I think that the best answer is to stick to the Constitution and to have government do the things that they're supposed to do that provide a good infrastructure setting for people who love freedom and who want to live their lives without a lot of government interference.
So am I hearing you say that let's let the capitalistic
free markets
chips fall where they may?
Free markets, it's certainly better. The free market certainly does a better job of reacting, and the free market spends their money much more wisely than our government does. And so, yes, I do tend to lean that way. Now, that's not to say that there are not at times incentives or things that we might do that that might make sense, especially along the lines of infrastructure and things of that nature. And there are certainly government provisions that should be taken care of.
Another issue that Wyoming and the Johnson-Sheridan County area particularly is challenged by is poor mental health. And our suicide rates are high, and that is a burden and a challenge.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, it is a burden and a challenge that mental health is poor generally, and that our services are very challenged and they are struggling to meet mm-hmm. demand and need. And it may well be that a lot of people are not even seeking services because of the stigma attached to that. What importance, if any, do you put on meeting the needs of community members who may be struggling with mental health?
So I've been in 10 years and I've grappled with this one in judiciary, and I have seen this one in real life a number of times. Mm-hmm. I would argue that Title 25 certainly needs reformed. We need to fix some of the problems. Now, within
Could you explain to people who may not be familiar with Title 25 what it currently provides?
Title 25 is someone that might be a danger to themselves or to others and having mental issues, and the state steps in and maybe holds on to them for a certain number of hours or days until they can get mental health. And counties are on the hook for it, and the state's on the hook for it. The real elephant in the room, if you will, with mental health and Wyoming is that we're 580,000 people. And about a year ago, I was talking to VOA and VA, just two providers, mental health providers in Sheridan, just in Sheridan. I mean, they have other areas out and around the state. They are 2,400 jobs that they would like to fill in that area. Think of that, 2,400. There's an entire wing of the mental health for the state facility that was shut down because we can't get workers.
And the same is happening in Johnson County right now.
Yes, absolutely. So it doesn't matter how much money you throw at it. If you can't get the workers, and it's really a problem nationwide. And so it's one of the reasons I say we need to reform Title 25. We need to figure out what parts can we honestly do. We're building a facility right here in Sheridan, right now, the hospital. And, I look at that, and that was my number one question. How will you staff it? You can build all the buildings you want. You can dump, and they have, millions and millions of dollars into it. But if you can't staff, you've got a problem.
Do you have any solution?
I do not have a full solution to that. I mean, if you look at that, that's a national problem. And it's even exacerbated even more in rural states. Wyoming's climate is hard, and so not a lot of people want to move here.
We've also talked already about the paucity of housing.
Mm-hmm. Housing, I don't think that one would probably take it as much, but I voted for things like mental health.
Do you support the hotline, the 911 hotline?
I support the concept. That's one that we battled over that one, and I vote against the state taking that on because there are philanthropical groups that that could and should, and perhaps will run it better than the state. And so I think you've got to be careful. What is realistic for the state to take on? What is their obligation? They certainly have obligation there. There's no question. But I don't think that Wyoming, and why I support the idea of the reform, is we need to look at a lot of this very seriously. What part can the state do? It doesn't do any good for the state to dump a bunch of money in and do a half a job and create more of a boondoggle than what we had to begin with. And so just saying, we're going to throw $50 million more dollars into this, if you can't get the workers, if you already have the facilities, then you've got to be thinking outside the box. You got to say, what part should government do, and what part maybe should not government do? 911 is a good example. There are national lines for that then take it to regions. When I voted no against that, it wasn't against the hotline. It was against the fact that, hey, look, this is already funded. What they wanted to do this last year was put a $40 million endowment on it. Again, what's the solution? We're dumping $40 million that's sitting out there generating money, but we can't find workers. And for a program that's already being funded.
Okay, thank you. You would be switching seats a little bit. Your geographical area would be slightly different in the Senate, and of course the Senate has a slightly different tenor mm-hmm. to it anyway. What do you think would be your three most pressing issues that you wanted to champion for this district?
I'm glad you asked. I have three right at the front.
How did I know?
I don't know. One is that we pass between 200 and 400 bills into law every year. And I have yet to find the constituent that tells me that their lives have been greatly enhanced by having an extra 200 to 400 bills a year. In my 10 years, that's 2,000 to 4,000 bills. We vote about 2,000 times a year, and so I think it would behoove us to very much look at repealers. There are things that we have done 100 years ago that really do not make sense, and yet they are put into the books. And
is there anything in particular that has caught your attention that you would love to get your hands on and repeal?
Yeah, sure. Sure. One of the legislators from this area ran a bill not very long ago, probably 3-4 years ago, that took the state and put them at the front of a bankruptcy for taxes. That very much quenched investment capital. What banker is going to want to loan money for payroll to keep them through and to keep them out of bankruptcy, where the moment they hit bankruptcy, the state goes to the front of the line to collect their money first before the bank? So sure, I'd like to see things like that taken off the books.
Okay, so repeal rather than more new legislation.
Maybe it needs a fresh look at it. Maybe it's just been on too long. My first year I ran a repealer because steam engines for trains have primacy over water in the state of Wyoming. And it did not get repealed. Even though there's only 3 steam engines left in the state of Wyoming, that's a kind of a silly one. But it gives you the flavor for there's lots of things out there that we still leave on the books that could be looked at to be repealed. So repealing would be one.
And a second issue?
A second was property tax reform. We've already touched on
and
that.
And I think that's very high in voters' minds.
Yeah.
Especially in this district, they are feeling the pinch of very high and sustained high. There's a cap coming in. There will be a benefit next year for 65-year-old plus who've been living resident for 25 years, but across the state.
A problem with 45 is it locked in historically high. After 5 years of raising taxes, it locked that 5 years
in. You're talking about House Bill 45.
House Bill 45, yes.
Yes.
And so I don't consider that reform at all.
Okay.
And then it allows it to go up. The 4%, in the end I voted for it because it did cap at 4%. When that bill was initially authored, it only went to the postage stamp, what we called the postage stamp of the home. It didn't touch the outbuildings. It didn't touch the land. All of those things could have gone up by 30% again. And so when we amended it and we got it to where it was for all property, and then the author initially put that at 5%, which would double every 17 years. Then we offered 3, and it ended at 4. And so, again, it's helpful. It is not helpful to lock in that historically high area. 2 years ago, we took in $504 million above the year before, which was historically high. And then again this year. And it's not just Sheridan or Johnson County. It's in most counties. Now, there are some exceptions. And again, if you're going to look at reform, you have to look at how does that impact Niobrara. And so there are certainly things that you have to look at, certainly. But reform is...
And your third?
My third one is a spending policy. Wyoming legislature currently has a spending policy. It is, if we can steal the money, we'll spend it. And so I would like to see us put a spending policy in that takes care of population growth and inflation. So you could go above that and then work on some of your other things like property tax relief with the above. But essentially that would put you probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.2%.
So how would that work? How do you envision that working?
The legislature would run a bill that says you cannot have more than population growth and inflation. We'll have to pick an index. We'll have to tie it to an index, a Wyoming index. And then everyone has to follow that, all agencies. They cannot, barring some emergency or something like that, which would have to be put into the legislation, that would be your cap. Just like the property tax cap, this would be a spending cap. And it would say, this amount of money is going to go into savings, but the spending is going to stay right here. And so that would be my third one.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else that you would feel that we've not covered that you would like the voters of this district to know about you or about your campaign?
Well, I think the important thing is for them to be informed. Both myself and my opponent have voting records. And unlike some campaigns where neither side would have a record. And so it's very important. We've tried to make it as transparent as possible. If they go to my website, markjennings30.com.
And that is actually linked to this audio.
Yes. And all 10 years of my voting records are on there. I think our 10th year may not be there yet. Campaign season has slowed us up. But all of my, you can go and see how I voted in committee meetings. And I think that's very important. And go look at my voting record. Don't take my word for it. Go look at the actual voting record. Go look at my opponents. If you like his voting better, support him. But be informed. You know, don't just take the rhetoric of what comes on a shiny card or what you hear on the radio.
And indeed, that is the purpose of this conversation,
yes,
is to help inform voters.
And I appreciate you.
And to give them a full understanding, mm-hmm, of the compare and contrast of,
yeah,
what the different candidates are offering and how they would represent the electorate.
Yeah.
So, Mark Jennings, candidate for Senate seat 22, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much for having us on.